Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dorothy, originally from Nigeria, in Africa. I'm honored to be part of this discussion panel, speaking for what I believe is our right to freedom, like every other immigrant or refugee in Canada, to exist. So before I start, I have to tell you a little bit of about myself. I came to Canada in 1995, and I sought refuge status. And my claim was denied by immigration officials. So why do I claim a refugee? Because I was gang raped, beaten, tortured by a group of gang militants that came into my uncle's home as a retribution for his involvement in a failed coup in 1995, March. So Immigration Canada claimed they never believed my story. It's not credible. That was their reason why they denied my claim. So, and after I did the post-determination, it was denied as well. And in 1999, I put an application on humanitarian and compassionate grant. Because then I was working, I realized I'm able to provide for myself in any way around. So I put the application. And I was expecting a child at the same time. So my child was due in March 2000. So then after I put this application, then I had a baby girl. So I realized that I was a victim of FGM in the past, female genital mutilation. This is something that is commonly practiced in my homeland. They do it out of ignorance. A mother never want to hurt her daughter, but as a mother, this is it. You have to do it when you grow up, when you come to a certain age as a girl growing up. That have to be removed, whether you like it or not. So but when I came to Canada the first time, I never made mention of that. Because I realized it's not going to be of any advantageous to my case. So now that I have a child, I have to fight for, I have to protect. So I put her story into my case. And Immigration Canada, the question, why now? So the reason is because I have a child I need to protect. She's a Canadian born. Okay, meanwhile, I have to move from my old address to the other address before about to have my baby. So when I moved, they sent a letter to my old address for me to leave to go to Nigeria. I never received that letter. That was in 2000. And meanwhile, while I was in my new address from 2000, say May, there has been contact front and back with me and immigration. They will write me a letter for more information. We'll work together. I work together with my lawyer. We will send them back. So they have my address, my new address. I was surprised one good morning on Friday in 2001. I had a knock at my door at about 20 minutes to 7 in the morning, a.m. Who is there? It's immigration officers. So I respond to the knock. So I was wondering, why are they here? You know, I asked them, why are you guys doing here? You miss your way. They say, no, they're after me. For what? You have to go to Nigeria. I was still in my apartment. I never opened the door. I was just curious, what are they doing here this morning? Why should they come here to knock at my door? Anyway, I said, okay, let them hold on. I have to put on something and open up the door. And I was arrested. So I was detained. On my way, on my way going to detention center, they told me that they had sent me a letter to the old address, and the letter was returned back to them. So this is why they have to come to arrest me, that I have to go to Nigeria now. I said, really? They go, yes, okay. But I have my application in the system on humanitarian compassionate ground. So nobody is going to do something about that. They say they don't know. So when you get to the detention center, you have to talk to them about that. So I was detained for about for over the weekend, and I was released on bond, $3,000 cash, 3,000 deposits. Thank God I have some good friend that was able to help me with that. So I was released on bond. Anyway, before then, in 2000, when I had my baby in 2000, April, so I did apply for unemployment EI. So not knowing that I don't have a valid work permit, so I wasn't eligible for any money. So the human resources sent me a letter that I'm not eligible. I'm like, I worked throughout my pregnancy even, so why can't I get something back? I don't have no work permit this year. So. But when you were taking this task out of my money, because I work for that money, you never realize I don't have no work permit there. So now that I need my money back, I don't have no work permit. You think what would that do to somebody just expected having a child? You think you have laid a foundation to take care for your child, and immigration screw up? They just shut out the whole foundation. I could get no money back from the government. I was kind of handicapped, but I thank God I believe so much in God. I can use God as often as I can here, because that is what keep me going. It was not an experience. Anybody will experience and survive an ordinary person. You have to have some things that generate that joy in you. It's God. Then I have, in 2001, so after our release, I have to go to immigration. I was instructed to report every last Friday of the month. So every last Friday of the month, I have to report in detention center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Then in that same December 2001, they sent me a letter in between Christmas period to leave Canada in January 2008. Another letter. And that letter was like about just 5 days' notice to leave Canada. You have to leave, they book a flight and everything. Then I got a lawyer who said, this can't be. You can't even give such a short notice to leave under 5 days. Then I had a lawyer who did a state deportation. We were to go to court, federal court. They refused to go to court with us because they said they were not prepared. So it's like fought our back with fast, telephoned my lawyer. Then they agreed for me to do a passport for my child till April. They gave me January to April 2000 to do a passport for my daughter. Then I have to leave after that. I did make an attempt to do the passport, but I don't know where her father is. So I made an attempt, but the passport, they refused to issue the passport because there's no signature of her dad, no consent. So in May, I received another letter from immigration to come to the office. I went in there. And they wanted me to come along with the passport that I did. I went with my lawyer. I said, I didn't do no passport because there's no daddy consent for a passport to be issued. So and they forced me to do a passport by calling they are together, you know, passport office, immigration, they work together. So they called them and they make me to do an affidavit, and the passport was issued. Then I asked the passport officer, why, when I applied in the beginning, you denied it, why did you issue it now? Because her father hasn't even signed still. So what makes the difference? Immigration give you go ahead to issue a passport without her father's consent? Anyway, they issue a passport. So immigration officer seized the passport right from the, in June, I had to send the passport back to them. So that was about the same time I met with OCAP. OCAP, I came to know OCAP through my lawyer, referred me to OCAP. And this wasn't going really good with my application, because application is in the system, nobody is looking into it, they want to get me deported. So when I met with OCAP, I do a lot of stuff with OCAP. I want to say this because they made a great contribution to my application, to my success today, OCAP. I truly appreciate them for that. Because when I met with Uka, it was the idea to get Otero Court of Justice to give an order of interim non-removal order for my child and custody. That was the idea. My lawyer, I even pay money to never have that idea to go to the court. But Uka did. And we went to the court. We went by going to illegal aid and everything, and I got went to the court, and we have interim non-removal order for my child from the province of Ontario. So, but when I took this interim non-removal order to the officer in charge, he said to me, that was in November, that there's nothing in this paper that says you can remain in Canada. That's in his own word. Nothing in this paper says you can remain in Canada. I'm like, what did you say? He repeated, that's okay. In my mind, I know everything that paper says I must remain in Canada. So when I left there, I thought about it. I said, I had enough of this person, because I remember in May 2002, there was one particular week I have to go to him every day, trying to force me to do my daughter's passport. There was one particular day in that week, I almost passed out. I called Oka. I said, I can't stand this person anymore. Because nothing is coming out of him that seems hopeful. Everything coming out of him is like no hope. Whether you like it or not, just bury it right there. You are going, whether you like it or not. I think, if I can remember, Stephanie went with me one of the other day. Stephanie went with me and Stephanie talked to this very officer. I'm telling you, from that moment, his attitude changed a little bit towards me. It changed a little bit towards me. So they have, I have this letter, and he says, nothing, this letter, it's okay. When I came by, I called Sarah. I said, Sarah, Oka spoke person, she's not here right now. Says, Sarah, we have to do something right now. I said, I can't take that person, that guy anymore, that immigration officer. He wants to get me deported. He do everything in his power. I can't take him anymore because I don't want them to get rid of me before I do anything. I have to do why I'm here. Because I believe I have a right to live in this land. This is I've been in this country for almost 8 years. I've established my life in Canada. I've contributed to the system in one way or the other while I was working. It's not like I don't want to continue to work. This cancel my work permit. They put my life on hold. Just Sarah told me if I was ready to tell my story to the media, I said, why not? If it will help to strengthen my case, I will. Then we work on that. I spoke with the media. And luckily, we got one nice person that wrote about the story. And the next day, we went on demonstration, action, with OCAB. I tell you, that day was a very wonderful day in my life, because when I was in the midst of those groups, we were more than about 20 of us, let me say, approximately. And the Algerian-based Montreux were there, too. It happened to be the same time they were in Toronto, so they came with us. I felt like I belong to such a wonderful family that is so caring. Because these people I don't even know at all. Among these people, I know only three I've met with, which is Stephanie, Sarah, and Sherez. Other ones I haven't met with them. But they were there, fighting for what they believe in. Our message got across. We went to two different offices, 6900 Airport Road in Mississauga, St. Clair and Young, downtown. So we went there, our message got across. The next day they called my lawyer. Just trying to be a little bit brief about the whole thing. They called my lawyer that the decision is in and it's positive. So God is good. The thing is, our action worked. I want to encourage everybody. Because 1 month later, after that, calling my lawyer, I received a letter in the mail. It is positive. This is just to encourage everyone. It's worth fighting for, speaking out for what you believe in. Because one thing we must understand as we are here today is very important. We are asking for the same opportunity they got during the time, the days of their ancestors, or their great-great-grandparents. That is the same opportunity we are asking for to continue to help build this country. I love Canada. It's a wonderful country. We want to help build the country. We need that same opportunity they got because we are immigrants. I hope everybody will agree with me. This is not a fight for Nigerians, Algerians, Iranians, Chinese, regardless of where you're from. It's a fight for freedom, a fight for justice for all. All immigrants, all migrants, all refugees, regardless of where you're from. It doesn't really matter. And it's a good thing we have to speak out about whatever we go through with immigration. Because if we speak out about it, I never know this. Let me start by saying, I never know about it. Speaking out, it really helped. Not until it happened to me. So today, I'm here speaking to audience of approximately 100. Are we up to 100 here? Okay. So I never thought one day I would come to a state like this and speak to another of, say, even 50. Right? So I'm who I am today because of who they want me to be. I think it's a good fight to fight it. To prevail, we must prevail. And I want to use the opportunity to thank OCAP. I truly appreciate you, OCAP, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. And I want to thank Algeria Group, Montreal Base. Thank you for your support. God bless you.